Hey, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers have had their first official day of practice, and things went swimmingly. We'll talk about what they said afterwards, about the defense, about the impact of Russell Westbrook, and the importance of having fun over 82 games. That's all next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I want to thank everybody for helping make Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day. Reminder, we are here every single weekday, Monday through Friday. Sign up for Locked On Lakers, subscribe to Locked On Lakers on YouTube. So that's where all the breaking news is going to go and all that stuff. In addition, Andy, to the podcast. So this is where we are. We are officially into the season. They've been practicing, Andy.
Yeah. Excited.
That's it.
I'm really excited.
All right. So, look, not a whole lot changes between media day and day one of practice, but the Lakers did get out on the floor and they did get a sense of what was going on and really what it looks like, with the whole group together. And I think Russell Westbrook met with the media, AD met with the media afterwards, Frank Vogel spoke as well. And one of the things that I think came through over the course just of today was a reminder, like, these guys are the veteranness of this team, like, they are invested in this process and I think they like it. Like, Westbrook was asked, I say this, how long do you think it'll take for the chemistry to develop? He said, quote, "Not sure, we're taking it day by day. That's what the season's for. There's so many different options. I can't wait to figure it out." Like, they're excited to be together. They're excited to do the work. I mean, it's a cliche, but they really are.
Well, I mean, you hear a lot of guys talk about basketball, like, the truly elite guys, but even you'll hear role players sometimes talk about it as a craft. And when you're thinking about that in the most literal form, it's artistry. It's different layers of understanding that you ultimately have to come to. And it's like a puzzle that you're solving. And, it right now, all the pieces are like scattered all over the entire facility.
Right. They haven't even done the thing where you make the edges like that.
No. At this point, they're actually just, they're not walking around. They're sending Austin Reeves around the facility. McClung. Yeah. McClung and Hillbilly Kobe, as we learned during media day that Austin Reeves is known in Oklahoma. The two of them are going around the facility. They're gathering up those puzzle pieces and they get to the process of putting them together. And if you're somebody who truly loves the craft of basketball, the artistry of basketball, like, I think it's safe to say LeBron, Melo, Russ, Anthony Davis,
Trevor Ariza. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've been
Dwight is weird. Dwight is a very strange dude.
Yes,
he's got an excellent, especially on the defensive side of the ball. The guy understands and knows and can talk about defense on an intellectual level. Like, he's really good at that. He's just an odd cat with a lot of snakes.
Don't let the octopus costume fool you.
No, exactly. No, you're right. This is the intellectual sort of basketball IQ factor for this team is as high as it really can possibly be.
They're a smart team. And I will say, this is a little bit inside baseball in terms of what we do versus the people listening to this podcast. And as always, thank you. The way you take in the game, there's layers of the way I think you can sort of see this or feel it. But having covered a lot of teams over the years, like you and I have, going back to the 2005-2006 season where we first began this with the Lakers, it's really fun to cover really smart teams. Like, that's a really enjoyable thing when you get to watch really smart players on a game-by-game basis, go about solving, again, that puzzle that is high-end basketball. It's really fun to hear really smart players talk about basketball and, like, the intricacies of it and things like that. When you happen to be around a roster that is as not just good about it, but as smart about it on so many different fronts, it's just really fun. It's really entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, for me, that was one of the joys of covering Phil and Powell and Kobe. Like, Kobe, for all of the sometimes accurate talk about, you know, he's prickly with the media. He can be tough on, like, if you ask him good questions, would give you good answers. And if you, in those moments where he really wanted to, it like could talk about basketball in ways that help you understand, like, we're not, we don't claim to be coaches. We're not like X's and O's guys, whatever, but yeah, you're around it. We've been doing this for like 15, 20 years, or seems like, whatever. So it's like you start to learn things, and to hear guys talk about the game. And I actually think players are good at this. And I think that for media is getting better at asking, certain portions, at least, of the media are getting better at giving players an opportunity to explain what's happening and show that this is not just dudes running around, throwing a ball around, that there really is a lot of detail and thought and nuance that goes into this. And, you know, when you talk about an 82 game season, and the work that a team like the Lakers is going to need to do, where almost everything matters in one way or another. Certain things obviously matter more than others. Health matters more than others. Performance for their big, but like, you know, the angles that you take on a pick and roll, and, you know, substitution patterns, and how you approach defending this guy versus that guy, and these little decisions add up over time, and particularly in the playoffs. And when your only measurement is, did we win a championship or not? The nuance, the little things, the details, the 0.5%, the 1% ultimately start to matter. These guys, I think, are going to love the process of wringing out every 0.5% that they can in performance from this team.
Yeah, I mean, enjoyment is a really key word there, Brian, because Melo, among a lot of other people, but during media day, really emphasized the importance of fun. Mm-hmm. And like that it's necessary to have fun during this, because 82 games and however long you're in the playoffs, and the playoffs themselves become incredibly intense. This is a long time. Like, it is, I don't care how much you love basketball. I don't care if you're a hooper, whatever, man,
a baller,
this stuff gets tedious at times. Like, it just, it's human. I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care what you do as like a really deep end hobby. There are going to be elements of it that feel tedious, that feel hard to get up for. That's just human nature. And the idea of it can't just be about the ring, you know, at the end of the tunnel, to mix metaphors. Like, it's got to be about fun. Like, you have to really, truly be enjoying yourself.
People, I think, in sports, and this is a little bit of the codification, certainly of in LA, kind of malign fun. Because fun becomes unserious. So if you're having fun, you're not serious about what you're doing. That's not true. You can have fun and be serious. So like, look, they talked about it today, Davis and Westbrook. Frank Vogel reiterated as well, the intensity level, even just in the first practice, off the charts. Like, guys, as Westbrook said, you know, there's a lot of shit talking going on. They have a lot of shit talkers, good, high-end, high-quality, I've been in this league for 10 plus years, quality shit talking. Plus Hillbilly Kobe. And McClung just won't keep his mouth shut. Can you imagine?
How many practices do you think it's going to take before McClung says a word? Like, any
of them. All of them. All of them. I wouldn't talk if I was, I mean, ever. I mean, I would listen. I would listen a lot, but I'm not talking. But yeah. So to answer that question, you know, but it was interesting for me to hear Vogel say, look, like, we wanted to get through some of our principles. They've got some stuff. It's going to be different than next year. They've got different things they have to do offensively. They've got different things that they need to do defensively. We'll talk about the defense here in a second. But like he said, I wanted to get him out and playing as fast as I could. Let's get to 5-on-5. Now, he did say the starters were the big three. And then asked who the other two were, said, we rotated guys through. He did not fall into that trap. Frank Vogel is in midseason form, not creating headlines.
Yeah. He may look all shucks, but he ain't no dummy.
No. So yeah, he was not tripped up there. No insight yet as to who's starting. He did have some things to say about the team's defensive identity. Anthony Davis did as well. And this actually lends back to some of the things that came out of media day on Tuesday. We'll talk about the Lakers defense next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Sleeper. In 2018, the fantasy sports experts at Sleeper realized that fantasy basketball was broken. Games were won and lost because of whose players had more scheduled games that week. It made no sense. It required no strategy. So in 2020, Sleeper released a brand new way of playing fantasy basketball. It's called Game Pick, and it's only available on Sleeper. In Game Pick, owners pick a single game per week for each starter to count towards their team's total score, ensuring an even number of games played between opponents. So there's no more losing sleep because your opponent's players had more scheduled games to play in that week. No more giving up halfway through the season because it starts turning into just tedious, busy work and it's a drag. But in Game Pick, you pick one game per week for each player based on player matchups, home versus away, opponent's defensive ranking, pace of play, yada, yada, yada. They offer redraft, they offer keeper, they offer dynasty. So if you prefer weekly strategies instead of, again, busy work because you got like a life, you are going to love Game Pick. So download the Sleeper app and start a league today with your friends today. You will not be disappointed.
Locked On Lakers also brought to you by Sweat Block. Andy, nobody likes to talk about excessive sweating or really any kind of sweating, but definitely not excessive sweating. Sweating through your shirts for no reason, you're ruining your clothes, and just generally having the anxiety that comes with knowing that you have a sweating problem. Or even if you're not an excessive sweater, and I'm not, but we all have those moments of like high pressure. It's a job interview, a first date, whatever, where the nerves get going and all of a sudden you you find yourself sweating in ways you typically don't. We've done those, some that are far more awkward than this one.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Radio man, you will get some that are like 5 minutes long.
Of just like, good God, man, I don't want to be talking about this in the slightest. But like you can sweating in ways that you typically don't. And for any of those situations, whether it's chronic or a more specific need, you use Sweat Block antiperspirant wipes. These things are doctor recommended, doctor created, and they work for up to 7 days per use. They come with a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweat Block doesn't help keep you dry, you get your money back. It's been featured and tested on Rachel Ray's show by actual firefighters. It's the best seller on Amazon for the past 10 years with over 13,000 reviews. I mean, people use this stuff. You apply it at night before you go to bed, before, you know, your big event, whatever it might be. The next morning you wake up, you wash, you go about your day without having to worry about sweat, and it's guaranteed. So get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with the promo code Locked On, or at amazon.com or at CVS. So a lot of attention, Andy, has been paid towards the Lakers and defensively and the defense, what they gave up, losing Kyle Kuzma, losing Alex Caruso, losing Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, losing Marc Gasol.
I was going to say to some degree, losing Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, he certainly contributed on that end, depending on what they were doing.
He got a vote, I think, for all defense.
Yeah, I'm going to ignore that. I'm not putting that in the portfolio of things that show the Lakers are going to be much worse off this year. But how good this team can be defensively is both an interesting question and a critical one, because while the offense should be better and should give the defense more breathing room, you still got to hit a certain level. You got to be at least a certain height to ride the ride and win a championship. And Anthony Davis was asked about this and kind of pushed back on the idea that the Lakers can't be a good defensive team. He noted, we've got defensive-minded players. We've got guys who want to play defense. And he said, most importantly, that if you are somebody who wants to play defense and you are willing to do it, guys coming into this system with this group and with Anthony Davis behind you and LeBron James and all that and Frank Vogel, like if you buy in, you'll do better. You will improve there. So he has a lot of confidence, I think. I got that impression today, Andy, that they will be good and he can help make them that way.
Look, two seasons may not strike some people as a big enough sample size, but the bottom line is in the Frank Vogel, Anthony Davis, LeBron James era for the Lakers, it has not really mattered who has been on the roster, who's been available, who, what five-man combinations you're putting out there. This team has been really, really good defensively with some guys that, like, when the Lakers brought in Andre Drummond, for example, and not to rehash everything that happened there, but the biggest surprise was the issues were all offensive in terms of his fit and exactly how to use him, extenuating circumstances, whatever. Defensively, Andre Drummond was actually pretty good.
He was fine.
And he was certainly Well, I was going to say he was better than not just I expected, but his reputation. Like Andre Drummond has been known as a massive minus defensively throughout his career. Mm-hmm. He came in, he was fine. Like he was not an issue. And I think that in and of itself speaks to the confidence that Davis and all these other guys, and I think Frank Vogel and the front office have in terms of just system and Vogel's ability to implement it.
Right. And to that point, I mean, the Lakers finished last year with the best defensive rating in the NBA. And look, I know it didn't hold up against Phoenix in the first round and all of this stuff happened. But when you consider how much Davis didn't play 36 games, I believe it was, AD missed last year. So you're missing your anchor for that much. You're missing LeBron for however many games he was out. You're missing, you know, Gasol when he went out. I mean, like, they didn't have a lineup. They were playing with, you know, whoever they could pick up off the street half the time. And it eventually started to hurt them. But they had no business finishing with the best defensive rating in the league last year. That is buy-in. That is scheme. That is culture. And a group of coaches, starting with Frank Vogel, who are capable of designing defensive schemes that best match their players. Now, that doesn't mean it always works perfectly or the scheme is always optimal for whatever you have. These things take time. It's hard to match it exactly. Players don't always behave the way you think you're going to do it. But I mean, I thought Media Day, Vogel said, like, you know, when he was talking about the defense, he talked about scheme. Like, he talked about the things that we do here. He clearly has the confidence to believe, and Rob Pelinka, as we've discussed, also does, that he can take what he's given. And if you give me Anthony Davis and LeBron James as part of that, I will make it good. And I think that's important.
Yeah, I mean, he did acknowledge, Vogel, that they lost some strong perimeter defenders. The guys that we mentioned up at the top, like their presences will, or their absences, I should say, will matter. But, you know, on paper, this team has, he said, the back line, the rim protection, the athleticism, and the mindset to still be an extremely good defensive unit, but you have to actually go out and do it. And, right, you know, he made no guarantees beyond the confidence in the group that he has. But, he acknowledged, I think, in some ways, unspoken, his own challenge in front of him. Like, look, you know, as much as I believe in myself, as much as I believe in the system, as much as I believe in a foundation of me, LeBron, AD, I still got a new challenge in front of me.
Mm-hmm. And it can't be the same. They can't do it the same. They didn't do it the same way last year as they did the year before. And even though they've, you know, on paper with the two centers and they've aligned themselves in a way that goes back to closer to what it was at a couple of years ago, when you add Westbrook, when you add, you know, Wayne Ellington, like, they're going to have to do it differently. Certain things are going to have to change. Two questions here. Well, actually, one first not a question. The first is just, I think Davis is particularly excited about what this means, sort of like, and the way he can establish himself as the guy who anchors this defense and really does. How good do you think they need to be? I mentioned, like, you need to be at least this tall to ride this ride. How good defensively do they need to get to?
I mean, it depends how good's their offense going to be now.
Let's say they have top five offense. Like, I think a legit top five offense.
They're a legit top five offense. They got to be somewhere minimum between 10 to 5 defensively. Usually, if you are a top five offense, top five defense, that makes you a legitimate title contender. If you are top five offense, top five defense, you are going to be on the short list of teams that can win it all. You know,
I think that's fair.
I think some of this, though, will be dictated by how good the offense is with, you know, Westbrook's addition, assuming the fit's there, and all the shooting and, you know, guys who can get their own shot that they added. Because some of the defensive prowess that they had is, you know, as incredible as it was, and at times you're just like, God damn, watching this, a lot of that was born out of necessity. Because if they did not play that level of defense, the truth is they would have been a low-end contending team at best. Like, they had to be that good defensively. And as we've talked about a lot, Brian, that puts an incredible amount of strain and pressure on your defense to have to be that great, because you're not totally confident in your ability to score.
And I'll tell you what, when you have an old team, when you have a veteran group and all that stuff, it if you want to preserve guys, allowing them to win 120 to 113 is a lot easier and it's a lot more productive in that regard than making every victory have to come, you know, 101-98. Like,
yeah, I mean,
that is a lot more taxing on your old bodies than it is just let them get out there and score some points.
Yeah, I mean, Vogel can go home, drink an entire bottle of scotch, lamenting the fact that he won 135 to 125. Like, I'm sure there's going to be really upsetting to him.
Right.
But, the rest, you know, that's what the extra year of that extension was for.
And by the way, as somebody who will end up talking about each and every one of these games right here, 5 days a week on the Locked On Lakers podcast, which you can also find on YouTube on the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel, I would prefer they win that way. That's a lot more fun to watch.
It is a little more fun. Not gonna lie.
Along those lines, Andy, Frank Vogel said something very interesting that is probably going to draw some mockery from the naysayers and the haters on Twitter.
Some people call that Twitter.
It's true. About the style of play for the Lakers and how good a fast break team they can and want to be. We will talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models out there, it is impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. And why would you spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership?
Anyway, you do that.
Dummy, you mark, you rook.
It's stupid.
You rube. You can get it for way less at rockauto.com. For example, Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 from a chain store. It's only $216 at Rock Auto. They are a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car, your truck, right? Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Yeah, I just saw I wrote down, Andy, the holidays are coming, and you gave me that price for that fuel pump.
Halloween?
Fuel pump. That's I got a couple
the little kids.
I got a couple kids with birthdays coming up. I got a wife with a birthday coming up.
Right. That's
I
what think you somebody's know what?
Getting a Honda Odyssey fuel pump. That's just me.
I thought you meant the trick-or-treaters.
They might get it too. They're so inexpensive, you can hand them out to anybody
who
wants. I was
going to say, that's when they start paying for themselves.
Exactly. In other news, Andy, football, it's back. It's better than ever. And all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are into week four of the NFL season. And it's been awesome so far.
It has been a great season.
Except for my fantasy teams. And as always, though, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season with a new updated site and interface and even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. So head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That is double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100 to take advantage of that. And from football, basketball, boxing, right down to your favorite casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So the Lakers, as we all know, they're an old team, Andy. We've seen the memes. We've seen all that. You know, they eat dinner at 4 o'clock at Howard Johnson's every night or whatever it might be.
By the way, keep the memes coming because LeBron said during media day, he finds a lot of them genuinely funny. And I believe him, by the way, because about 80% or so of them come specifically from Josiah Johnson. And
they are funny.
And I was going to say, LeBron loves Josiah. He's like liked a bunch of his tweets on Twitter and stuff like that. So I think LeBron's actually telling the truth on this one.
He might be. And two things can be true at once. He can find them funny. He can also use them as fuel. So everybody wins here.
Funny fuel.
So yeah, the Lakers are old and this and that and whatever. And they got to eat dinner at 4 o'clock and so on. But Frank Vogel said on Wednesday at practice that he believes that the Lakers can be, and he wants them to be, the best fast-breaking team in the NBA. Already, Andy, I have seen the response on Twitter, like, that is the most ridiculous thing. You know, they're 1,000 years old. Are you going to have like little scooters to get them up and down the floor, golf carts? How exactly is this going to work and all that? I think people are completely missing the point and the value of actually taking this old guy team and having them push as much as they seem to want to do.
I mean, first of all, even before Westbrook was part of this equation, back when we heard rumors of the Lakers looking into Westbrook and we said that sounds ridiculous in terms of just pure fit, well before that, you and I have been saying this team needs to start pushing again. Like mm-hmm. they were so much better in 2020 as opposed to 2021, when in 2020 they were constantly out in transition. 2021, not nearly the same amount. And the 2020 version was way, way better offensively. You could see the difference. In 2020, when they ran, they had an offense. In 2021, when they often didn't run, they had no offense.
Right.
This team, and you know, it's not like they aged that much between then and
it's
now.
It's been a calendar year. Right.
Literally, it's been a year. By definition, if you're bringing in Westbrook, you are looking to run because you're certainly not looking to get more in the half court.
No, and Vogel talked about that, and AD talked about it a little bit too. Like, it's not like Frank Vogel's never seen Russell Westbrook play before. He obviously has, but it's a different deal when he says it's both up close and it's in practice, and it's up and it's on your side.
Yeah.
Like, you get to see it in service of your team winning. The speed at which he plays, the pace at which he plays, he says, not only just in the open court, but also just getting downhill in the half court, is remarkable. And that's something that they want. He said, when LeBron gets the ball, they want Russ to go. When Russ gets the ball, they want LeBron to go. Like, they want to get this thing going, because you should with Westbrook. He is a force in doing that, and he's going to naturally speed up your team anyway. Might as well take advantage of it.
Well, I mean, if you're looking to have Anthony Davis play more center, like they talked about during media day and all the reports leading up to this, a big advantage you're going to have there is speed, as opposed, you know, against most of the fives that would be looking to guard him. The best way to utilize that speed is running. Anthony Davis is a terrific rim runner, and like many things, that was gone away from during last season. You need to get more back into that. And, you know, this team, the way they're constructed, and even with that age, getting up and down the court is not nearly as taxing for these guys as it is lining up in the half court, having more physical grind against you defensively.
Screen and roll.
The more they run, you're basically just paying guys a lot of money to do cardio workouts. Like, it's really well compensated, you know, jazzercise or whatever. But this is what you want. Like, Palmer. This will be people can't see if you're only listening to the podcast, but if you are watching on YouTube, watch Brian do that. Then go to Giphy and type in Brad Pitt burn after reading. Like, everything Brian's doing is basically the burn after reading Brad Pitt physicality, and I find it delightful. But like, this really will be I think way easier on them if all they have to do is just get up and down the court quick, but there's less physical grinding.
Yeah, just the new training staff basically just needs to calibrate everything they do to change of direction. Like, stop, turn around, and go the other way. This is where, like, there are places where the age thing matters, where it obviously is important. You know, statistically speaking, guys tend to drop off faster when they drop off when they're older. When things go wrong, they go wrong faster. If Melo, like, hits a wall this year, he's going to hit a wall a lot harder than a 25 or, you know, 26, 27 year old guy would. You know, if Ariza finally loses it, he's going to lose it this year. It's not going to be gradual, but that doesn't mean that it's relevant for everything. And that doesn't mean that everything involving speed or involving athleticism or involving everything is automatically going to be exacerbated by their age. This is a perfect example of that, where no, actually it's easier if they run. It is less taxing if they run. And also too, if they can run and build up leads, guess what? Guys don't have to play as much. Well, and so, you know, 36-year-old Trevor Ariza can sit down, LeBron can sit down, and Russ can sit. Like, all these guys, go win games in the first three quarters so that your fourth quarter closing lineup doesn't need to do as much over 82 games.
The other thing too is, like, guys like Melo, Ariza, Dwight Howard, some of the older guys on this team, you know, to whatever degree you are fearful of it with LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
If that fall off that you mentioned a little bit earlier does come, it's going to come no matter how they play. Like, if Melo is, you know, as the kids would say, if Melo is washed, Let's just say we've reached the point where Melo just is washed as a there player.
Is Andy, hashtag washed Melo.
How the Lakers play is irrelevant. The fact is his body will stop cooperating. It doesn't matter if you play the slowest paced offense and system in the entire league. Mm-hmm. If he's done, he's done. Same thing with Ariza. Same thing with all the guys that you have these concerns over. You know, you're either an elite athlete that can handle this stuff, or at a certain point, you're not. Like, often it's just your body stops cooperating, and it's that simple. Like, you know, there can be nuances that affect all of this stuff. And sure, obviously, if there are guys who really just for one reason or another can't do the running and can only do the half court stuff, then you adjust it. I don't necessarily
know what that would possibly
look like. I don't either. I'm just saying,
like, I can't go straight, you know, at top speed, but I'm fine in the half court changing directions and slamming into people.
I don't know what that would be either.
but to your point,
I'm trying to entertain this as a thing, even though I don't think it actually is one. Just if the end's here, the end's here. And that it's kind of just that simple.
That's how I feel about our podcasting. when it comes, it comes. What are you going to do? It ain't here yet, though. 5 days a week. All right. So the Lakers will be back on the floor with multiple practices. They're getting after it ahead of a game on Sunday, right?
I believe it's Sunday.
Preseason game on Sunday. That is so crazy. By the way,
should have been aware of before note, bringing it up. Sunday.
Yeah, it's this weekend. Housekeeping note there. The Lakers, they said, Vogel said that they're going to probably aim for two games at least where that core group is going to play together. We don't know which one, like maybe probably a whole game or something like that. Really, you know, a dress rehearsal type thing. Don't know which games they'll be. It certainly won't be that first one. But that's something to look forward to. And so that's about it, Andy. Big first day for the Lakers, and we will be back tomorrow. Thank you, everybody, for listening.